Sometimes people talk and talk and talk, but never really communicate. You know what I mean?
Hello?
Hi, it's me. Listen, I'm really sorry about this afternoon.
Well, I hope so. I'm glad you called, Jim.
Jim? Who's Jim? Sandy, is that you?
Sandy?
Is this 555-7475?
No.
Oh, is Sandy there?
Oops, wrong number. Well, that sometimes happens. That's why we're going to take a look at the whole idea of communicating, sharing our ideas with each other, on today's visit to Odyssey USA.
Oh, hi there. I was just working on one of my inventions here. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but you can call me Whit. And this is Odyssey USA. Hey, let's see if this thing works. Oh, whoa, 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 hold it! Okay, so it needs a little more work. But that's the exciting part, because you never know what you'll discover along the way. Oh, don't take my word for it, though. Find out for yourself as you explore our side of the radio, Odyssey USA.
Chris, close your eyes and take a look around you. You've landed right smack in the middle of Odyssey USA. Today, the kids at Wits End are getting ready for a very special event. They're about to make their first movie. Well, at least they think they are. Speaking of movies, have you ever noticed how sometimes in old movies on TV, you hear God talking in a big, loud voice? Well, you know, that's not always how God communicates with us. The Bible tells us about several ways people heard from God. In fact, in the Bible, a prophet named Elijah spent a lot of time listening for the voice of God. He listened to the whirlwind, but God wasn't in it. Then there was an earthquake, but God wasn't in that either. Finally, there was a big fire, and Elijah thought that God might be speaking through it. God wasn't in the fire either. Do you know how God finally talked to Elijah? Well, if you need a hint, try looking in the book of 1 Kings, and that's all I'm going to tell you until the end of the program. In the meantime, we're going to drop in at Wits End just in time to make a movie, when we return to Odyssey USA right after this. Ever want to be in the movies? Sometimes it seems glamorous and exciting, but the truth is, it's mostly a lot of hard work. You have to concentrate every minute or...
Excuse me.
Sorry. See what I mean?
You expect me to wear this? Get out of here.
Wait, please, I need to get a sound level.
Well, what in the name of Cecil B. DeMille is going on here, Whit?
Oh, hi, Dave.
It's Officer Harley. If you don't mind, I'm on duty, you know.
Oh, what? Sure. Whatever you say, officer.
Yes, fine. Very good. I mean, not just good. Great. That's what I wanted. I mean, what is all this stuff anyway? It looks like Hollywood in here. You're not making a movie without a permit here, are you?
Permit? I didn't know you needed a permit to make a movie.
You don't, Bobby. Not as long as you're on private property and you're not obstructing traffic or something like that. Isn't that right, Officer Harley?
Well, it isn't exactly wrong. Not that it couldn't be, mind you, because ignorance of the law is no excuse. But as far as wrong goes, yes, you're right.
I think wrong was ready, Mr. Whittaker.
Thanks, Amanda. Amanda's our director. Oh, this is going to be quite a production. We've got some special displays set up, cue cards, you name it.
Oh. Say, Whit, get a part for a peace officer in your movie?
Oh, it's up to the kids, really, but I don't see why we couldn't write you in.
By the way, what's it about?
Communication.
Ah, communication, right. Yeah, what do you mean?
Communication, people talking to people. Communication is the way we get an idea that's in our head into someone else's head.
Oh, I get it. Kind of like what we're doing now.
Well, in a roundabout sort of way, yes.
great. So roll the cameras already. I've always wanted to say that.
Well, if everything's ready, we'll fire up the lights and...
Hey, it's a little bright, don't you think? I mean, I wouldn't want you to pick up too much glare off my badge. Maybe you could turn those things down a little bit. Hey, you didn't have to turn them down that low.
It's dark in here. What's going on?
Relax, everybody, relax. We've had a power failure, that's all. Want you all to keep calm. The first thing people usually do at a time like this is panic.
And it looks like we're doing things in the right order.
Look, there's a light in the window.
Don't worry, I'll handle this. Okay, freeze! Police!
Is that you, Dave? Settle down. It's me, Tom. Tom Riley.
And Marion Josephs.
Whit, are you all right in there?
Oh, hi, Tom. Marion. We're okay. Come in.
I was just giving Marion a lift down to the church and saw the lights go out. Looks like the whole town is dark.
Sounds like I better get out to my squad car and try to find out what happened.
Well, that's a good idea. Now, everyone else, just stay where you are. I'm sure the lights will be on any minute.
Say, Tom, how about a little light over here?
No problem. Guess it's a good thing I had my trusty flashlight with me.
Can you point your trusty light over here for a minute, please? I got some candles someplace. Ah, here they are. There. Well, at least we can see what we're doing.
Mr. Whitaker, are we going to have to shoot our video by candlelight? I don't think it's bright enough.
Speaking of things that aren't bright enough, think about it, Bobby. The cameras work on electricity just like the lights.
Oh.
Which means we might as well tear all this equipment down and go home.
Oh, no. Wait a minute, Amanda. What kind of an attitude is that? Why, we could be up and running again any minute, and even if we weren't...
It's going to take a lot more than a minute, Whit. Just heard on the radio there's some power lines down over on Main Street near the generating station. Most of the town's gone dark. Traffic's pretty snarled up, too. It'll take a couple hours to fix it.
I guess we better just go home.
Sorry, it's really not safe out there. I think it's best if everybody stays here till the lights come on.
I think Officer Harley's right. Now, the first order of business is to see if this phone works. Ah, good. All right, everybody, line up and head this way. We'll start calling your parents. Yes, that's right, Mrs. Lewis. Oh, everybody will be fine here. Nothing to worry about. Come on down as soon as the power comes on again. You're welcome. Bye now.
Do we really have to stay here till the power comes back? That could be hours.
Well, I'm sorry, Amanda. I feel terrible about keeping someone around here against their will. See, most people who come in here want to.
Well, I do, too. At least I did. But now, well, there's nothing to do.
Nothing to do? You mean the only thing that makes this place exciting is electricity? You think life was that boring before Edison invented the light bulb? Used to be that fun was something you created. It didn't come delivered to you. You had to go find it for yourself. And you know what? That was the most fun part of all.
Can you give us some ideas, Mr. Whitaker?
Yeah, what did you used to do before electric lights?
We had electric lights, Bobby.
And we even had radio, too.
But we also had imagination. Hey, I'll tell you what. We can't do video right now, so we'll save the documentary for later. How about live theater?
Huh? What? What do you mean?
Well, we'll put together some sketches, find a couple of props. Everything we need's around here somewhere, and we'll do a show right now, live on stage.
Oh, wait a minute, Whit. You keep saying we. Now, which we were you referring to? We, or they we?
Well, I mean us we. You, me, Tom, and Marion. We're going to show these kids what fun is all about without electricity.
Okay, sounds like fun. I did a little acting at the academy, you know.
Well, what do we do?
Well, you're going to be our audience. Think you're up to that?
Yeah, but you're still going to need lights to put on a show.
Yes, but not electric lights. Huh. Now, let's see. Oh, I know. Amanda, would you get those pie tins from the cupboard over there?
Here?
Next one over.
Okay, here they are.
Good. Now, see, live theater has been around for a long time, even before electricity. Back then, the actors and directors had to use something else, so they made footlights. Now, what you do is set up a candle and put the shiny side of the pie tin right behind it. Yeah, see how it reflects the light? Marion, would you hand me the electrician's tape? It's under the counter there.
There you go.
Thanks. Now, you tape the pie tin to the candle holder, and voila! Instant footlight.
Hey, that's all right.
This is going to be good. Okay, some of you kids grab these pie tins and start taping them to the candle holders. Johnny, go get that drum set on the stage upstairs.
We'll be back with more from Odyssey USA in a moment. Now the conclusion of today's journey to Odyssey USA.
Ah, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for coming to tonight's show.
You won't let us go home.
And it's a lucky thing, too, because we have a really big show for you tonight. It's a truly marvelous look at the history of communication. Thank you, thank you. Well, I can tell you're as excited as I am, so let's jump right in by taking a look at how communication got started in the first place. Here to help is someone who was there when it happened. Let's hear it for the 4,000-year-old man. So, you're the 4,000-year-old man.
No, I'm his son, the 3,000-year-old man. Daddy couldn't make it tonight.
Why not?
He and his granddad had a tennis tournament.
Oh, my. Well, you come from a family of long livers.
No, my liver's about the right size, but I got a heart as big as all out of doors.
How do you account for the fact that everyone in your family lives so long?
Good communication. Yes, sirree. That's the ticket.
Oh, well, what can you tell us about communication?
What's that?
I say, what can you tell us about communication?
You just said that. That's the trouble around here. Everybody repeats themselves. Oh. Everybody talks. Nobody listens.
I know. I'm terribly sorry. You were just about to tell us about communication.
Oh, communication. Why didn't you say so?
How did your family communicate? What kinds of communication did you have?
Well, son, you see, we invented all kinds of forms of communication. Let's see now. You had your jungle drums. You had your drawings on cave walls. Uh-huh. You had smoke in a blanket. And, of course, you had your grunts.
Uh-huh. Well, you mean you'd talk in grunts like...
No. Oh. I mean you talk to the grunts. Oh. Herman and Nanette Grunt. They're in the cave. Biggest blabbermouth in town. But talk about communication. You want to spread the news in a hurry, you just tell the grunts.
So what you're saying is that back in your day, one of the best ways that information got from one person to the next was by talking.
No. Actually, what I'm saying is the best way that communication got from one person to the next was by talking.
My mistake.
It's all right.
So people told stories, and that's how history passed on from generation to generation, right?
Now you're catching on.
I think people today call that oral history. What did you call it?
Well, me and the missus tried calling it Percy, but it never caught on. See, Percy was the kid down the block, and he was right.
Thank you very, very much, 3,000-year-old man, thank you. Before you go, do you have any last words of advice about communicating?
As a matter of fact, I do. Always remember that the Lord gave you two ears and only one mouth. So, you should do twice as much listening as talking.
That's very good advice.
Of course, the Lord also gave you 10 toes and a belly button. I don't know what you mean by that.
Let's hear it for the 3,000-year-old man, kids. On the other hand, bravo, bravo. And now, here's our own Officer Harley.
Thank you. Well, from that time on, talking got more and more popular. People everywhere were doing it. But there was a new fad catching on, too. It was called writing. Now, here was an idea. You could tell somebody something on paper. You didn't have to be there to say it. But if you had a lot of writing and you wanted to send it to a lot of people, you had a problem. Because every page of every book had to be written by hand. So back in the 1400s, along comes a German fellow by the name of Gutenberg, and he invented a printing press. Let's take a peek into what Mr. Gutenberg's workshop might have been like.
Rockabye, Liebchen. Mama, don't let your housekeepers grow up to be cowboys.
Ah, Frau Bleichmeister.
Ja. Yeah.
Well, now, don't forget to dust the top of the tool cabinet, please.
I have been your cleaning lady for 5 years now. Have I ever forgotten to clean the top of the cabinet?
Well, no.
Ach, Tulin, what a mess you've made around here.
That's why I need a cleaning lady, Frau Bleichmeister.
Ah, yes, yeah. So it is. Hum, twiddle-diddle-dum, dum-dum. Oh, Herr Gutenberg, what invention are you working on now?
Invention?
Jawohl, invention.
Well, I call this invention iron paper.
Iron paper?
Oh, there's a bad echo in here. Did you notice that?
Yeah. What do you do with iron paper?
Well, you see, I got this little iron pieces, and I had a letter carved in each one, And now I can take the pieces and move them around to make words. Oh. And then I put them in this giant big frame. Oh. Ooh, sure, it weighs a ton, but this baby will last forever.
Schoolgirls are going to need 25 boyfriends to carry their books home.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway because it doesn't work.
Why not?
Well, you want the big explanation or the little one?
I'll try the big one.
Well, the Verschlagener had a malpropism on the application of the Obenstrom in the movable type.
You don't say. Maybe you better make it the little explanation.
The engraver carved all the letters backwards.
Oh, I don't know how you could tell with all this dirt. It's filthy. Here, let me clean it.
Ach, look what you've done. You've spilled ink all over my iron paper.
I'm terribly sorry, Herr Gutenberg. Here, let me blot up the ink with this piece of paper. Herr Gutenberg, look. The ink stains on this paper look just like your iron letters, only backwards, which means forwards, which means, look, you can read it.
That's very nice, Frau Bleichmeister.
Don't you realize what this means? You've invented the printing press, movable type. Ah. Now you can print books, newspapers, Moody Monthly. It's easy to carry, it's cost efficient, and it doesn't rust. Now people can share ideas in a whole new way. It's the beginning of the age of communication.
What's your point?
You'll be famous.
Now you're talking. Ha. What are we waiting for?
Wait a minute. If you're going to print a book, it can't be just any book. It's got to be something special, something everybody wants to read.
Okay, I got it. Frau Bleumeister, grab these letters. Ready?
Sure.
Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created...
Thank you, Herr Gutenberg. Well, the rest is history. The Gutenberg Bible was the first book ever printed with movable type. Of course, books are just people talking on paper. After all, the Bible is the Word of God, right? No, nothing could really take the place of people talking to people. Still, new ways of communicating kept folks fascinated, and time marched on. Stop that marching back there.
Sorry.
Anyway, before you knew it, up marched 1875, and a fella named Bell. Now that's Bell like in Alexander Graham. He was working on a little contraption of his own.
Who are you calling a little contraption? I'm a finely tuned electronic device.
What? Who are you?
What do you need, a detailed schematic with color glossy illustrations? I'm a telephone. State of the art. We're talking call forwarding, all digit, push-button dial, watts line, smart decorator color, and I am cordless.
No offense meant.
None taken.
I've just never talked to a telephone before.
Exactly. People talk on the telephone, they talk into the telephone, some even talk about the telephone. But people never talk to the telephone. I think it's about time the telephone started talking back. After all, who knows more about personal communication than we do? Hey, you on the drum, how about a little help? Okay, kids, put your hands together.
Now listen here, kids, gonna tell you something great about some different ways to communicate. You can put up a sign, you can write a book, you can say a lot by the way you look. You can grumble, you can mutter, you can stammer, you can blab, you can chatter, you can tattle, you can lecture, you can gab, you can use a pen and paper or slate and chalk. But the best way to do it is to sit down and talk. Communicate, communicate, just open up your heart and communicate. You gotta share ideas, there's no time to waste, and the best way to do it is communicate. Okay, time for someone else to try. You, young lady, come on up here.
Me?
Yeah, go on, take a verse. It's easy.
When you talk and it's funny, it can be a blast, but you really get in trouble if you talk in class.
All right, Bobby, your turn.
You can talk by a locker, or anywhere you go, you can talk underwater just like Jacques Cousteau.
Communicate, communicate. Just open up your heart and communicate.
We gotta learn to laugh, cause joy is great. And the best way to do it is communicate. If you wanna make friends of the people you meet, you gotta know communication, it's a two-way street.
She says hi, and you say hello. Now you got a conversation and away you go.
She asked about his family.
He asked about her friends.
That's good communication, no telling where it ends.
Communicate, communicate.
Just open up your heart and communicate. I wanna learn about your cousin and your Uncle Nate.
And the best way to do it is communicate.
Come on, Tom, it's your turn now.
Okay, I'll try it. Be swift to hear, be slow to speak. Be slow to anger, do you get it? Meek, hey, I think I got it. This is fun. Okay, Whit, you try it.
I believe I will. God can take someone who's lost in sin and make their life brand new again. But how are they gonna know new life is great if Christians like us don't communicate?
Communicate. Just open up your heart and communicate.
We gotta share the gospel before it's too late.
And the best way to do it is communicate. Communicate. Just open up your heart and communicate. We gotta share the gospel before it's too late. And the best way to do it is communicate.
Can you hear me now?
Communicate!
Okay, settle down. We got another.
Hey, look! The lights came back on.
Wait a minute. What's the matter? You got electricity again? You know, lights, camera, action. You can start your documentary now. Places, everybody.
Do we have to, Mr. Whitaker?
Have to? Why, no, of course not. But I thought that's what you wanted.
It was, but this is more fun.
Hold it. Let me get this straight here. You want to do something that doesn't need any electricity?
Yeah.
No props, no gadgets, just your imagination? I don't get it.
Remember you said fun was something you have to go find for yourself?
Yeah.
Well, we found it. Besides, I think we learned something about communication.
Well, what's that?
It's not what we do that makes it fun to be together. It's just being together.
That's what the Bible calls fellowship.
Excuse me. I have something very important to say here.
What's that?
Hit it. A 1, 2, 3, 4.
Communicate. Communicate. Just open up your heart and communicate. We gotta share ideas. There's no time to wait. And the best way to do it is communicate.
And the best way to do it is communicate. That was fun, but they never asked me to do my verse. Oh, well, I'll just have to find some other way to get my message across. Something special. Which reminds me, that's exactly what God did with Elijah. Remember? God wasn't in the whirlwind or the earthquake or the fire, but he found a very special way to talk with his prophet. He spoke in a still, small voice. You can read it for yourself in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. Now, I'm not sure why God chose a still, small voice, but I do know this. Sometimes if we want to hear what the Lord has to say to us, we have to listen very carefully to our parents, our pastor, and most of all, to what God says in His Word. The story of Elijah is only one example of how God talked to His people. He still does that today, even though it may not be in a voice you can actually hear. How does God communicate with you, and how do you communicate with God? Why don't you tell me about it in your own words next time you write to us here in Odyssey, USA? And then in a few weeks, I'll share some of your answers on the air. Lights Out at Wit's End was written, produced, and directed by Phil Lawler and Steve Harris. Our engineer was Bob Luttrell. I'm Chris Lansdowne, and I hope you'll spend some time exploring our side of the radio next week in Odyssey, USA.